What up, LoveQuest Nation? You are listening to our latest episode of our 9 a.m. Sunday experience, recorded live at our location in Vancouver, BC. So come on in and enjoy a powerful right now word brought to you by our founding and lead pastor, Pastor Terrence Richmond. Enjoy.
Amen. Father, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for the sun shining today. We do not take it lightly. But we also thank you for the sun shining in our souls even brighter. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. So Lord, today we thank you that ears are perked open wider than before. Hearts are more willing than ever before. I thank you for your breaker's anointing in this place today. Your breaker's anointing in this place today that people will break forth. Jehovah Bel Perazim, the Lord of the breakthrough, move in this place all day. And we thank you for understanding. Lord, I come against the spirit of error. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you lead and guide this tongue as I surrender to the amazing privilege of preaching the gospel to your children. And we thank you that we are sowing this seed into good ground. Say, I'm good ground. And I'll stand in agreement with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we get a little like pads or something? We don't want to go to a funeral yet. No funeral yet. Amen. 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 Felt like it was a wake. Grandma Lily, putting Grandma Lily to rest. Amen. Say, I'm alive. Amen. So this morning, we started a series called what? The Power Rangers, and I believe we'll be on this series for the rest of the year. The Power Rangers is just a list of things that are absolutely necessary and valuable, and you must have an understanding in this season. I'm here to tell you, the world around you will get better. I need to very understand what I'm saying. The world around you will get better, but the world in general won't get better. Not until Jesus come back. And then that won't even be a world. That'll just be a whole new existence. But the world will change around you if you choose to be a world changer. The devil gonna do what he do. Evil gonna do what evil do. Power, greed, the government, they're gonna do what they're gonna do. It's a system. It's the system that Jesus died for. And if the system is going to change, then Jesus' death was really pointless. But he came to carry his government on his shoulders. He put us in this world, but we're not of this world. He gave us his peace, so while the world is doing what it does, we can still be in the midst of calamity and famine and craziness and darkness, and our light will what? Shine. We don't need to be identified as the light of the world if everything is going to be light. You don't light a candle in broad daylight, even if you was blind. We're here to serve the world a notice that God is alive, and if they want to choose, they can have eternal life. Absolutely. And so we started this series, and it's going to be good. I would never miss church. I don't say that lightly. I would never miss church. Just like you never miss work, don't ever miss church. Trust me, because church has more to offer than your job. Trust me. Church has more to offer you than your job, and you have more to offer your job more than they have to offer you. I'm preaching already. If you knew who you was, they hired their answer. they're not your answer. You're their answer. Amen, amen. Take the shackles off, Jesus. And so I was going to last week. Anybody was here last Sunday night? Oh, that's all it was like, anybody was here last Sunday night? Amen. Okay. Powerful, right? We talked about our heavenly prayer language and young boy was filled with the Holy Spirit. How old is Romeo? 8 years old, filled with the Holy Spirit, received his heavenly prayer language, full of joy. Man, stop playing. And so, you can't be a spirit-filled Christian and a dry one at that. You can't do that. But so I thought today, this morning, I was going to talk about, I was torn between the power of prayer, because Lord knows we need to pray and understand the importance of prayer. Now I was like, man, the power of being filled with the Spirit. And I was like, nah. So we're going to get into the person of the Holy Spirit tonight. If I was you, I would not miss it. Why? Because we often know Jesus and the Spirit and God by their works. We don't really realize that the Holy Spirit is actually more real than you are. The Holy Spirit is a person, just like grace is a person. Not that grace. Grace is a person. Grace died on the cross for you. It wasn't just an act of grace. It was the person of grace. Grace acted on your behalf. And the Holy Spirit is not just the last person in the Trinity. You can't have a relationship with God without having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so tonight we're going to deal with the person of the Holy Spirit, not just the works, because you minimize the works if you don't understand the person. The works come out of the person. The person don't come out of the works. So that's what we're going to deal with tonight. But man, something hit me in prayer yesterday that I have to deal with this morning. And I believe you're going to be blessed if you want to be blessed. Ain't no way you can't be blessed by what we're about to talk about. But we're going to talk about the power of the laugh. The power of the laugh. When you've been in a church service and they preached on laughing. And we're going to subtitle it stand-up comedy. I'm going to help you out. The Bible says after you've done, all you can do is what? Stand. The reason I can laugh in calamity is because I have a stand on the word. That's stand-up comedy. It's funny when you face the devil and stand up against the devil. You can laugh in his face when you know that it's going to all work out. Woo! Yeah. I just believe Jesus was laughing at his persecutors when they thought they was going to shut him down. Jesus laughed at the devil on the inside. See, it don't matter what your physical body feel from fasting 40 days and 40 nights. On the inside, when you know the devil's already been defeated, you can stand and laugh at his tricks. Yeah. It's stand-up comedy today. That's the funny part. That's the funny part that you thought because somebody in my family didn't make it, I wasn't going to make it. Or because I suffered poverty for a little part of my life that I was going to live in poverty throughout my whole life. Because the doctor said you were sick, that was the last report. Ha ha, there's a greater report. What is it? By his stripes, I'm what? Healed. It ain't over. It's no different than a champion. When a team luck up and beat them, they look at the other end and the team that rarely experience victory down there celebrating. And it's the first game of the season. Why y'all pouring Gatorade on each other? It's the first game of the season. But the champion know ultimately we gonna be in the playoffs and we gonna win. We gonna get back to the championship. Any son of God, any daughter of the Most High, no matter what you're going through, the enemy can laugh today, but you gotta know the outcome is victory. Say stand up. Whatever, it don't matter. Whenever God makes you laugh, get ready. Whenever God makes you laugh, Get ready. Say, get ready. No, we will deal with this in both services, but I'm not just talking about laughing out of insecurity. I'm talking about God laugh. I'm talking about faith-filled laugh. Whenever God makes you laugh because something is too ridiculous to believe. Ooh, this is going to be good today. Whenever God makes you laugh, what? Get ready. God is too good not to have a laugh. Look at your neighbor and say, you too serious. You just too serious. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Say you ugly when you don't laugh. You ugly. You ugly. It's going to be some healing today. I'm telling you, man. It's going to be some healing in your soul today, man. I'm telling you. God is too good not to have a what? Laugh. Woo-wee. Now, Abraham and Sarah were what? Old. When the Bible call you old, you what? Old. Well advanced in years. That's a good way to say it. You just well advanced, mama. It had ceased to be with Sarah as with young women. She was past the age of childbearing. Pause there. She was past the age of childbearing. She was past the age. This is one of the lies of the enemy, that it's too late to give birth to something. It's too late to get that job. You're too old to get that career. Your singing career is over. Your family career, life is over. I'm too old. I better hurry up and have this. I better hurry up and get that because I'm just too old. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That's worth laughing at, because with man, you're too old. But with God, it's always possible. Yeah, woo-wee! Look at this. So he says she was past the age of childbearing. Therefore, Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I have become aged, shall I have pleasure? God stopped by through one of his servants and said, you about to have a baby. Look, I don't care how old you get. Don't start preparing for your funeral. Now, you prepare on paper, right? Don't just never get a will, or don't just ever get life insurance. Do what you got to do. But in your soul, as long as you're breathing, you got purpose. And she's like, okay, God, hold up. You mean to tell me that as advanced as I am, you saying, I'm really about to have a child? You mean my womb still has room for fruit? You mean my life, despite my past, is not over? You mean no matter what family I was born in, their choices has nothing to do with your? I have gotten comfortable. I have come to grips with, I forget stuff. I've come to grips with, I don't remember everything. I come to grips with, I'm losing my appetite. I'm come to grips with, I can't climb up them stairs no more. I come to grips with, I can't drive no more. I come to grips with, all my kids is left out the house. I've come to grips that my kids are advanced in years. Ain't nothing like your kids being old and you still alive. When you live to see your kids get gray hair, you living in your golden years. You blessed. Shall I really bear a child when I am so old, God? This is a legit question. This is not the doubt that opposes God. This is the same doubt that Mary had. It's just, how is this going to really happen? It's, in other words, God, I'm down, but you're going to have to make this happen because I am completely incapable of doing anything to make what you're saying can happen, happen. I think that's where God loves to have us, when you can't do nothing about what he promised. And as long as you're trying to make the promise work, how you going to make something work that already been given? It's a promise. And he's a promise keeper. Before you was formed in your mother's womb, he promised it. So now you alive, you're going to try to help him. She has what I call healthy doubting. She is curious in God's ability more than she is aware of her inability. Most of the time, we stop pursuing God at our ability. Shikabah. It goes on and says, is anything too hard or too wonderful for the Lord? At the appointed time, when the season for her delivery comes around, I will return to you and Sarah shall have born a son. Key words, the appointed time. A lot of times, the appointed time ain't your time. The appointed time when the season for delivery. I've just found this out, Elder John, just now. That we can be pregnant and not even realize it. And then all of a sudden we give birth. And we're so focused on seeing the lump. We want to see the lump. It's like, we want to see what God is doing versus realizing on the inside he's doing something. There's life happening. Right? Even with the lump, you see a pregnant woman, you can't see the child. If you just sit there for a minute, the miracle of a human being inside that belly, and if you come in and yell, it'll startle the life in the womb. There's life in Bree's belly, in Jasmine's belly. There's life happening. Like, that's a human that is breathing underwater. That's life inside of here. The same way there's that life that you can't see and touch is the same way God is doing something on the inside. And you just got to wait for the time. Right? As bad as you want to get this baby out, you better get used to it and change your posture. You better eat healthy. Feed yourself the word. You better worship. You better learn how to walk a little better. You got to figure out how to sleep on your side. Because no matter how impatient you're getting, you need that baby to go through all three terms. You trying to have a preemie. Why would you want just the head of the corn? Why do you just want, you get excited over manna. You get excited over just Lord, a little baby toenail. Woo, I'll eat that. I'll take that, God. I cannot wait for that thing to grow. No, I can't wait for that partner to mature. I can't wait to get delivered. I don't want to. I don't want to go through the process of transformation. God, I can handle it right now. Lord, I can handle the $5 million. I can handle the business. God has impregnated you, but you got to wait for the time to give birth. Stop rushing and rush to enter his rest. He says, for her delivery comes around, I'm going to return. It's almost like through the process, it feels like God ain't there. But your awareness that he's doing something is not required that he's there. Like, I don't need to know what he's doing to know that he's there. I don't need to know what he's doing to know that he's there. And the fact is we're like children when our parent just walks out the door. They didn't leave us. They didn't abandon us. They just went from the living room to the kitchen. And because I can't see them, I'm crying. And the only thing that will bring me comfort is if they come back to the room. But if they come back to the room, I can't cook dinner. And what we rather is God sitting there coddling us than God cooking. My mama put me down, put me in front of the TV. She gave me some toys because she couldn't coddle me and cook. I don't know who you are, but just because you don't sense God, I'm here to tell you he's cooking. God is cooking. Let him cook. Let him cook. Because, man, I'm telling you, his meals is always good. Let him cook. Let him cook. Okay, we keep it going. Then Sarah denied it. Because she was laughing, right? And Abraham was like, why you laugh? She said, I did not laugh. I don't think she was offended. I think she was just shy. Like, no, I didn't. Like, I didn't laugh. You know when you hear yourself sounding ridiculous talking to God? Like, if I heard some of the stuff that you, conversations you have with God and your thoughts, and I called you out on, you'd be like, no, I was just playing. Arrogance with God, rushing God. For she was afraid. And nothing is scarier, I don't know about you, but nothing is scarier than breaking away from family curses, stepping into family blessings. Because there's envy, because your mama and daddy or sister or brother thought it should have been them. You're reaching further than they ever reached. They don't know how to get where you are. And what happens is they think blessing means you leaving them. No, but you're actually getting in position for them. That's why you can't let people's fears and insecurities hold you back from what God has called you, because God is trying to set you up for them. They want you in there watching Dora the Explorer with them. Instead of you in there, God using you to cook with them. See, you are God's sous chef. Yes, sir. Sous chef. And he said, no. But you did laugh. Like I love Abraham. I love him here because he's not going to let her forget she laughed. I need you to know that you doubt it. Because what he about to do, don't discredit the laugh. Don't discredit the worry. Don't discredit the doubt. No. I'm going to remind you. Remember, you thought he wasn't going to do it. Remember how crazy you was acting in that one season? Remember you was crying over nothing? Remember you was worried? Remember you had got all worked up? Remember we had to go to the hospital because you had an anxiety attack? Remember how crazy you was acting because you was worried about him in the kitchen cooking? Remember? He said, no, you did laugh, Sarah. Don't. You laughed. Now you're lying. God doesn't mind when you have trouble believing his ridiculous thoughts and promises due to your ridiculous perspective of the odds, the insufficiencies, or the size of what you see as obstacles. God does not mind you. God does not mind when you have trouble believing in his ridiculous thoughts and promises due to your ridiculous perspective. See, as ridiculous as you think God's promises are, that's how ridiculous he thinks your perspective is. You think he thinks too big, he thinks you think too small. You think God's crazy, he think you're not crazy enough. I'm super speaking right now to you. With God, everything is possible. Due to your ridiculous perspective of the odds that were probably shaped by culture, probably shaped by, if not your fears, your family's failures and your family's fears. And let me tell you something, the standards your family set for you isn't necessarily what God set for you. Stop trying to reach your parents' standards and reach for God's standards. Well, I at least want to do what my dad did. No, you don't. And the insufficiencies or the size of what you see as obstacles do not magnify the issues. The issues are just that. They're issues. But they're not God's. They don't deserve a mantle in your house. They don't deserve a throne in your heart. They're just issues. God's thoughts and promises have nothing to do with your beliefs or the size of your faith or the size of your abilities or your status. It's based on his love for you and his covenant with you. His plans, his promises and thoughts has nothing to do with your beliefs, has nothing to do with the size of your faith, has nothing to do with your abilities, and it has nothing to do with your status. It's based on his love for you and his covenant with you, period. The size and ridiculousness of his plans and promises speaks to the enormousness of your worth. The size and ridiculousness of his plans and promises speaks to the enormousness, the hugeness, the giganticness. Can I make some words? Can I make up some words? Can I make up some words? I'm anointed to make up words. They work. Of your what? Worth. You don't even think you deserve to be prosperous. You think the human experience equates to getting sick as you get older. You think you gotta die a tragic death. You don't think you could die in peace at the table with your family and just say, see you later. I'm going to bed. We feel like tragedy is necessary. Sickness is inevitable. And you have no control over your emotions and feelings and heart and all of that. But as an adult, can't nobody abandon you if you're lost in his presence. How you gonna get left when you already lost? I know, that's tough. Psalm 91 tells me he that abides in the wings of the Almighty. That's where I stay. Those that are rooted. You see these words, rooted in love. How you gonna get abandoned when you rooted? I'm gonna get abandoned if I let you take my roots out and drag me where you want me to go, and then you leave me over there. That's what the devil do. But when I'm rooted, you leaving me, you abandoning yourself, because you don't know who you leaving. You don't know who you hurting. You don't know who you cussing out. Do you know who you're talking to? That's where the laughter comes in. Wow, really? Okay. It hurts, but wow, you done messed up now. You're qualifying me for God to just do something ridiculous. Your doubt qualifies me. Your persecution qualifies me for the ridiculous. You are worthy. Because he is worthy. This is what you have to understand. He's a jealous God. He loves proving people wrong as a form of parading his love. He does not like proving people wrong because he's competing with you. You can't compete with God. But he loves opportunities to parade his love. That's why 2020 is going to be one of the greatest years in our generation. I know only a few people could believe that. You're like, how? Man, I'm laughing. Because it's the darkness is an actual stage. You know, this is, I don't know if you paid attention, but a lot of churches that have the ability have blacked out stages. The stage is black and all the curtains are black. And because it's black, it makes the lights more dynamic. One of the things I wish was in here is we could block all the windows and black everything out. Why? Because the lights would be more prominent. Right? That's why speakers are black. When you put them on stage, they disappear. Right? And so what happens is the contrast, man, it makes everything pop. Right? And what you got to understand is what's happening in 2020 is necessary because it's about to pop off. It's about to pop off. This is the time for light to shine. This ain't the time for you to be dark. This ain't the time for you to wear all black. This ain't no funeral, Michael. I mean, you good right now, but you started off at the mortuary. Amen. Amen. He's a jealous God. This is Bible, okay? But I want you to understand what jealous God is. Jealous is, in the Hebrew, means fanatical. Can I help you out? God is a fan of you. He's a zealous God. He's rabid. He's possessive. He's protective. The Bible says he watches over his word to perform it. I don't know if you understand this, but you are a word walking. You know how Lil Will Smith's son said, I'm an icon living. It's crazy. He gets it. You're a word living. You are a living epistle. That's Bible. You are a word living. Everything that was created out of the word. You are a word living. You're not the insecure person you think. You don't have to walk in fear. You are the word. You are a word living. If Jesus was the word that became flesh, if we're walking in his image, if we have the mind of Christ, man, you are a word. You came out of, you are God's stock. He is a fan of you. The only thing that came between you and he was sin. And he didn't pay for that. The veil is torn. You got to get this. He's a fan of you. If you understood he was a fan of you, then it wouldn't matter how many followers you have on social media. You got the fan of fans. He could cheer you on better than anybody could cheer you on. He got a marketing team. He's your greatest PR. He's your greatest human resource. He is, man, he can get you in front of somebody in 1 hour if he needed to. He is your greatest fan. He sees everything. He sees everybody's plan. He sees the enemy plan against you. He sees people plan for you. He has people talking about you in rooms you have not even entered yet. He is for you, not against you. He never sleeps nor slumbers. He's thinking about you. He's always making a way. He never leaves you nor forsakes you. He has great plans and thoughts of you. He has promises for you. He's alive. He will never forget you. He is for you. He is fighting battles for you. He loves you. He loves your mama. He loves your daddy. He loves your co-workers. He's everything we need, man. He's a jealous God. He ain't gonna let you fail if you don't let him. You gotta let go and let what? God. He ain't gonna fail you. That person you waiting on to call you gonna fail you for sure. They gonna disappoint you for sure. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. No, for God selected deliberately. He deliberately chose what in the world is foolish to put the wise to shame. This is how, can you see God laughing at your pride? When you're sitting there writing your plans out, you like, all day, we're going to do this. And then you submit them before the Lord. Lord, bless my plans. He says, wow. He's just laughing at us because we think he laughs at you trying to take control of everything. He laughs at you when you think you in charge. He's laughing. That is comedy to him because he's like, oh, man, you have all your plans, but in the end, I'm still going to have my way. So you can wait 20 years and work out the plan and go through business partners and move all over the world, go to L.A., come back to Canada. You can go wherever you want to go, but in the end, you're going to come running back to me. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall. Why waste your time? And so he's like, okay, cool, go and work it out, exercise it, because this is his love. I'm still going to use your trial and error. I'm still going to use it for good. It's a great testimony, but some of your testimony you didn't have to have. Don't forget, the testimony is amazing, but you didn't have to have that testimony, which is a testimony. Yeah, I'm working on my testimony. No, stop working on your testimony. No, stop working on your testimony. For he chose what is regarded as insignificant in order to supersede what is regarded as prominent. That's why I don't run to the world no more looking for fame. It ain't about record deals. It ain't about what man qualifies as success. So I'm not running trying to get a car, running trying to do this and running trying to do that. So when I come in front of you, you can think I'm something. I don't ever want to be the one that God has to humble. I mean, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes. Yes, sir. So you got to understand, I don't want to skip through this. He chose the lowly, and he chose, put the strong to shame. Okay, calls the weak to put the strong to shame. Let's go back to 27. I don't want to rush this. No, for God selected, deliberately chose what in the world is foolish to put the wise to shame. He loves to take your foolish to bring him glory. That don't mean be foolish on purpose. Because that's pride. And he says, and what the world calls weak. See, the challenge is, can't nobody help you because you're hiding your weak. And you're fronting to be strong. But you're struggling on the inside. You're too prideful to have help, mentors, authoritative figures in your life. And so what God says, okay, cool, you want to handle life by yourself? Go right ahead. I'll have my servant over here waiting for you when you're ready. Pastor ain't supposed to chase you. Bishop ain't supposed to chase you. The Pope ain't supposed to chase you. The nurse don't chase you. The nurse don't call you and say, hey, do you need an appointment today? The dentist don't ever call you and say, hey, I just discern it might be time for a checkup. Every person that you need help from in this world, you reach out to. How about God? And he says, he chose the lowly, the laughable. You see this, Elder John? He chose the laughable in the world's eyes, the nobodies. See, stop aiming to be somebody. And know that you're already somebody in him. You ever thrive to be somebody to man? You're already somebody to him, and God will turn the attention and the heart of those towards you and cause someone to see you. Not everybody will have the blessing to bless you. Not everybody will be touched by God to bless you. Some people God is trying to use to bless you, but they're too stubborn. Just go read the Bible on your own. You'll see that, right? God used Jesus. He used Ezekiel. He used Abraham. Everybody that God used, he used them for somebody else. You are here because somebody loved you. Guess what? Your turn. You are here because somebody gave you a chance. Guess what? Your turn. Who much is given, much is what? Required. So that he would shame the somebodies. The people that think they, and that's the devil's goal. He wants to take you high so he can bring you low. It's amazing how the world, the media, will turn on you when you fail, but it was the same media that helped you get there. That's the danger about fame, is there's this false reality. I'm untouchable. That's why R. Kelly is where he is. Shame on the humanity that supported him, knowing. Despite the stories, we still bought his music and put him on a platform for a great fall. So yes, he made choices, but we're such fanatics for fame. We're so insecure as a people that we will put people on a pedestal that actually need help. And that then as we put them on a pedestal, we put them in a position to hurt people more. So a lot of people that are up there, we help them, because without the streams and without the likes and without the sellout concerts, guess what? But the Lord says, I need you to go low and I'll bring you high. For he chose what is regarded as insignificant in order to supersede what is regarded as prominent, so that there would be no place for prideful boasting in God's presence. And that's why you can't mind going through process. What I am going to do, no man can take credit. And you have no idea how much people have come to help, and God said no. And when I took the help, it turned around and bit me. If you could just wait on the Lord, he will do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask, think, or imagine. He will do some things in your life that no one can take credit for, not even you. It will be very clear you were incapable. That's what I'm after. That's what LoveQuest is after. Let people talk, let people come, let people go. But when God does what he does, boy, it ain't nothing you have to say. The proof is in the pudding. For it is not from man that we draw our life, but from God, as we are being joined to Jesus, the anointed one, and now he is our God-given wisdom, our virtue, our holiness, and our what? Redemption. One more time. For it is not from man that we draw life. It is not from man that we draw life. But from God, as we are joined to Jesus, our source of life. And this fulfills what is written. If anyone boasts, let him only boast in all that the Lord has done. So I don't care what I'm going through. When I laugh, it's because of what he's done. Not what's being done against me. Not what I'm going through. You like, how could you laugh in that situation? Because of what he's done. How could you keep going and laughing when you faced all of that? Because of what he's done. How could you find a smile? How could you keep serving tirelessly? It's because of what he's done. How could you forgive that person? Because it's what he's done for me. It's not about what man can do. It's about what God has done. How could you still have hope? Because of what he's done. tell Genesis. Excuse me for the misprint. 1 Corinthians 1, but it's Genesis 8:21. Abraham was 100 years old when Isaac was born. He was well advanced in age. And Sarah said, God has made me to what? Laugh. Remember before when the conversation, now we jumped ahead of the conversation. Now the thing is coming to pass as God what? Said it would come to pass. Abraham was, you see how God brought it forth even in the midst of her doubt. See, your unbelief or your doubt of what God can do has nothing to do if he'll do it. Abraham, 100 years old when Isaac was born, and Sarah said, now we really went back. Abraham had a child, but it wasn't the one God promised. So you can be successful, but how much of what you're doing is what God promised? Or are you in the Ishmael blessing? That self-created blessing, guess what? It's going to take self-sustainment as well. You're going to work tirelessly to keep that thing rocking. And Sarah said, God has made me to laugh. God has made me to what? Laugh. Who made you laugh? God has made me laugh. One more time. God has made me laugh. Say, God has made me laugh. Yeah, not your favorite comedian. Not Yuck Yuck is that Granville? Alpha Camby? Not Netflix. Not your favorite actor. Not THC. Not a big blunt. Not Hennessy on the rock or some Alizé or some key lime Ciroc. Not some good sex. When all of your options of joy run out, God has a reserve laugh for you. And when God make you laugh, what? Get ready. Woo, make us laugh, Lord. When our doubt is from pride and from fear, it opposes God's promises. When our doubt is from shock, it obliges God. When our doubt is from shock, another way of putting this is when our doubt is from awe and wonder in the majesty of God. God, I know you could do it. I just don't see how. It forces God's hand. It causes God, it moves God to move on your behalf because it's childlike faith. It's not a matter of, I don't believe you can, I just don't know how. I haven't had sex with my husband and you about to tell me I'm gonna get pregnant? And not just pregnant, but I've been chosen to give birth to the Savior of the world? Right. How is that going to happen? He's like, just calm down and just watch what I do. I just need, now understand, it's not just your shock, but it's your surrender while in shock. When our doubt is from shock, it obliges God. It moves God. It brings obligation. All right, God, our family will pack up and guess we're going to Canada. Amen. Don't know nobody over there. Canada, right? California, Canada. Okay. Well, we'll see. We'll see. When we get there, we'll trust you. I'm still in shock, but I'm also surrendered. God is not afraid of shock. He actually loves it because now you set a bar, an expectation. Shock has expectation in it. Oblige is to make someone legally or morally bound to an action or course of action. You do know legally what God has promised has to come to pass. What God says has to come to pass. Why? He said, I will watch over my word to what? Perform it. My word will never return what? Void. It will accomplish what I sent it to do. Therefore, when we are in shock at what he says, when we are in awe, wonder, God loves it when we see what he promised as big and unaccomplishable in our own will, in our own power. And he loves it when we're like, God, if this is going to happen, you're going to have to do it. Your awe, your shock, your wonder, your startledness, your childlike disbelief has forced my hand and presented opportunity. Listen, your childlike disbelief. You ever see a child excited in disbelief? She's like, when we got the car, I told Micah, I don't know why I told him this, but I told him it's his. He'll let you know that's his car. But the look on his face, he was looking at it. I was like, that's yours. The car is there. But what you just said is way beyond me. Like, he used to just like, vroom, vroom, car. That's the kind of blessings we can believe God for, is the vroom, the kind we can control. Vroom. Where we can control the scenario. We can get two soldiers and make them fight against each other. And then we can resurrect them and like. We like controlling the scenario. But then when God says, okay, I am going to give you ownership even when you don't qualify. That's yours, because in all actuality, it is. Catch the revelation. If it's mine, it's his. That's Bible. You'll catch it in a minute. What's mine is his. And that's what the Father says to his children. We're co-laborers. We're co-heirs. We're co-glorified. What's mine? Lord, I'll take your sorrow, and I'll give you my joy. You notice God, Jesus is not in sorrow. He just took it and dropped it off where sorrow belongs. He said, I'm going to leave you my joy. I'm going to take your sorrow, go drop it off, and we're going to both be in joy. He took your sorrow because he could carry it and drop it off somewhere. That's the Father. That's yours. Now, guess what he tells you? Dad, we need to wash my car. And guess what? When we go wash it, he washing it. 5 years old. Washing a car he ain't ready for yet. Just because you ain't ready don't mean it ain't yours. Stop waiting to get ready to receive. Steward the promise before the promise shows up. That's why I can laugh. Because I'm not waiting to get ready. It's mine. Victory is mine. Joy is mine. Peace is mine. Patience is mine. Reconciliation is mine. Prosperity, it's mine. So I don't have to wait to qualify. Or see, the world makes you wait till you get a certain diploma, and then you apply, and then you compete. In the kingdom, you don't compete for what's yours. It's yours. Shock plus permission plus surrender equals the impossible manifesting. Think I'm lying? Mary, Jesus' mama. Mary, Lazarus. Like, Jesus, I know you'll be the resurrector when you come back, but Jesus is like, no, I am the resurrection. I'm here right now. She's like, okay, well, I'll move out the way then. And when she moved out the way, guess what Jesus did? Called on the promise. Lazarus, get up. Let's go. Right? But guess what she needed? In her shock, you still need to give God permission. Don't wait until you believe to give God permission to move in your life. Permission will carry you a long way even while you're in unbelief. See, a lot of times we don't give God permission because unbelief, it has this paralyzing effect. Because we don't believe, we think God can't. The Bible says, if you got any sick among you, call on the elders, get the oil, and pray the prayer of faith, and they will be healed. They'll be healed by your faith. So I need in my shock to give God permission, but I also need to clamp up with faith. Because you will go through weak moments to fight with you. You see it with Ezekiel. God, you know if these bones could live. Guess what he did? He surrendered his tongue, and the Lord gave him a word to speak. You see the partnership. You see Sarah. You see Paul when he was Saul, knocked down on the road to Damascus in shock. He was out, gave his life to Jesus. The Bible says there's a time to weep and a time to what? Laugh. And a time to what? Mourn. And a time to what? Dance. Ooh, my cow. A time to what? Weep. That's what he was playing earlier because he thought it was a time to weep. I'm just playing with you. And then I just told him it's a time to what? Laugh. And there's a time to mourn and there's a time to what? Dance. When is the right time, Juan Carlos, to laugh? When is the right time to what? Laugh. There is a time to mourn. There's a time to cry. There's a time to dance. There's a time to laugh. There's a time for everything. But when is the time to laugh? I love all you thinking Canadians. I would say California is Wheel of Fortune and Canada is Jeopardy. We just like, come on down. Let's get it. Amen. Amen. The time to laugh is right now. Right now. It's like right now. You understand that when it says there's a time and there's a time and there's a time and there's a time, it doesn't mean because it's a time to mourn, I can't laugh. It just means it's mourning time because there's a reason to mourn. But in the midst of my mourning, I have a what? Laugh. See, the God kind of laughs don't always come from a tickle. The God kind of laugh, it's by faith. When you learn how to laugh by faith, boy, look, God laugh. When you laugh by faith, it is a heavenly prayer language. When under attack, laughter while standing on the word. When I'm under attack, I should find laughter while standing on the word. What's making me laugh is I found a scripture that tell me what I'm facing can't stand up against me. The laughter of God, it takes humility. Because when it hits you, you're going to be thinking about how you look. Yesterday in prayer, the Lord said, tell them to pray in their heavenly prayer language while smiling. See? And there began to be this thing of laughter happening to those that surrendered to God's laugh. See, you often, when someone has surrendered to God's laugh, you might think weird, or you might think, oh, God's moving on them. No. That person actually had to surrender to the laugh. Just like you surrender to the doctor giving you medication. Just like sometimes you go to a comedy show, and if you was really critical, some of the jokes you laugh at aren't funny. But because you're at a comedy show, you automatically have laugh on tap. Whatever they say, you like, they at least get a smile from you. Because you're at a comedy show, so you've turned on in your mind that everything they say is funny. So we'll laugh at racial jokes. We'll laugh at certain things that when we think about them aren't funny, but we've come ready to laugh. So if the spirit of laughter or joy comes in the room, which it is here, you have to understand it takes surrender. And what happens is, like anything of faith, you start in your own power, and then eventually the surrender takes you into a supernatural place of laughter, which that place is where healing is. Okie dokie. The laughter of God takes humility. It ain't about you. He's trying to get you well for others. Some of you constipated. You got a constipated sense of humor. Just too uptight. Let go. You're afraid of being vulnerable. Laughter is vulnerable. You don't find gangsters just on the block just like, No, you got. You ever have somebody mad at you, and you're not really tripping, so you try to be a little funny, and you can see them fighting their smile. Stop! I don't feel like playing right now. Stop! See, you play too much, and they've made themselves mad. Why? Because laughter is vulnerable. I want you to know I'm upset. No, I don't want to laugh right now. I'm sick. I'm broke right now. I ain't got nothing to laugh about. I ain't got no food at home. What does food at home have to do with laughing? Laughter can change your perspective if you tap in. Laughter in the same, don't nobody make you sing, you choose to sing. Anybody gonna make you laugh, you choose to laugh. Laughter is a choice. You don't have to be tickled. You don't have to have something funny. And then all it takes is one person to laugh, and then somebody got a cool laugh or a jacked up laugh. Like, can't, glad my wife don't do that. That. Amen. Ooh. But it's super cute. I'm sorry if you snorkel when you laugh, and if you one of those, or what is it called? Snuckle? Snickle? Snort. Exactly. See, and you hear people would laugh. You hear a laugh, and it just makes you laugh. And it's okay. You don't have to look around what they laughing at. You constipated. It takes a lot of effort not to laugh. That's a lot of effort. Oh, this is going to be a great day. This is going to be a great day. Oh, Jesus. The laughter of God makes one vulnerable. It makes one vulnerable. It makes one vulnerable. Some people can't believe when they come to Love Quest. It's just like, it's not uptight. Wait a minute. He's supposed to be preaching. Why he laughing? Like, why he talking about that? Why he joke so much? The Spirit of the Lord. What am I supposed to be when I preach? Even when I do funerals, it's like, if you're a family, you're just like, no, when I go to a funeral, it's joy time. We're going to celebrate. We're gonna celebrate life. Even if they got shot. See how serious y'all got? What do you mean, even if they got shot? Because a funeral is not about the dead. It's about those that's living. So the only purpose I'm there is not to lay somebody to rest. They dead. Like, that's a waste of time. You're dead. I'm not talking to him or her. I'm talking to the people that have a chance to get it right. Ain't no funeral about the dead. Yeah, we're remembering the life of. But what are we going to do when we leave? That's a waste of 2 hours if we just going to sit there. You can cry. But you also need to encounter joy, because on the scene of death is also depression. So you got to be careful of where death, experiencing death, takes you. Bible says he didn't only just carry our sickness, he carried our grief. So I don't have to grieve like the psychologists tell me to. I could actually make a choice to keep my blinds open. I can actually make a choice to drink more water than alcohol. Grieving doesn't give you permission to not walk in faith. You can grieve with, by faith, having joy. You can be in a crying and you can be laughing. But grieving doesn't give you permission to lay down and give up. I know how it feels. But see, that's the message you give at a funeral. Because people are at that point ready to give up, especially when it's open casket. Folks just walk up to the... See, I've been to a lot of funerals back home. Trust me, if you've never been to a funeral, you'll be at one day. It's either going to be yours or it's going to be... But we all head into a funeral. Everybody going to go to a funeral. Everybody end up at a hospital or they're going to end up at a funeral. You're going to experience both. Back home, unfortunately, I've buried friends. I've been to many funerals. And so I've experienced death at a high volume. Not just family, not just older people, not just grandma, grandpa. I'm talking about close friends. Buried my friend at 17 years old, shot in the back of a 12-gauge shotgun. Like, dead, period, gone, funeral. Friends, family, young, children. It doesn't matter. It's just where it is. And so what you got to understand is, even Jesus said, no, let the dead bury the dead. Right? No, we have a purpose. The living has, we'll get there sooner or later. But we have a purpose. The laughter of God makes one vulnerable. The laughter of God comes when it's nothing to laugh at. The laughter of God comes when there's nothing to what? Laugh at. You don't need nothing to laugh at. You don't need no joke. Right now, if you choose to, you can start laughing. Unless you constipated. You can start laughing. It starts with a smile, or you could be like, see what I'm saying? And it can start off fake. But I don't need nothing to laugh at. I just start laughing. I have so much to laugh at. Some of y'all look funny. There's people you could turn around, look at, and they will make you laugh. Exactly. There's always something to laugh about. You can laugh at yourself. You've done enough dumb stuff to laugh at. Just yesterday, you did something silly. There's a thought just came through your head. If you thought about it, it's funny, just funny. You dated somebody that was funny. You were insecure to a point of funniness. You were afraid to the point of funniness, and God brought you out. You've been around funny stuff. There's a movie to you that's really funny There's comedians that's really funny. There's stuff on YouTube that's really funny. There's a lot to laugh at, but the laughter that I'm speaking of, man, is this laughter that comes to heal people's soul. The laughter of God is a sound of faith. The laughter of God is a sound of faith. It's a sound. When his people come together, it's a very violent sound to darkness. When the enemy hears people laughing, it's offensive to him. The laughter of God is a sound of faith. You ready for this? The laughter of God is a sound of childishness. And when I say childishness, I'm talking about the biblical childishness. Come to me as a child. Childlike faith. It's vulnerable. God is the beginning of birthing. Sarah laughed and it moved. It moved and she began to walk in a miracle. If you could just laugh in 2020. Not need a laugh. Give a laugh. There's some people that laugh and it's an offering. I just love hearing certain people laugh. It just blesses my soul every time I hear them laugh. It just brings joy. Right? You know, some people that got those like scary laughs. Like sneaky laughs, like that laugh, you laughing, but you up to no good. You like slimy laugh, like you that pervert laugh, just Like, please stop laughing. You are gross. I'm 13, you're 60. Stop laughing like that. And then there's those laughs you hear all the way down the hallway, and it's like, I can't wait to see that person in this room. Right? You just... And it's the laughs that lead to laughs. Right? It's laughs that lead to laughs. You know what you need in this season? You don't need what we all waiting for to go back to freedom. A vaccine. Oh, okay. Okay. What y'all say, Jesus? No. We got Jesus. That's the whole point. While you're waiting on a vaccine, you can laugh. We need a laugh. We need a laugh. The world needs a laugh. The world is looking for something to laugh about. And there's laughs where you really, there's makeup laughs where you're covering stuff up. I'm talking about an authentic, real, good laugh. When the last time you had a good laugh, not at the expense of someone else's failure? But a laugh of victory, a laugh of faith, a laugh of courage, a laugh of victoriousness, a laugh like this, it's going to be okay laugh. Like, I know I'm not going through the greatest time in my life. I know it's uncertainties, but because of the word, ha, devil, you are a defeated foe. I'm laughing because of what he's done, not because of what someone's doing, not because of what the world is doing, not because of Trudeau, not because of Trump, but because of the work of the blood of Jesus Christ. Can I get a laugh up in here? Come on. Can we just praise God for a minute? Come on. Yes, we love you, Lord. Come on, let we love you, Lord. Come on, we love you, Lord. Laugh at the devil. Laugh at your problems. Laugh, just laugh. Ha ha. I am victorious. I am an overcomer.
joining us. Stay connected with us by following us on social media at LoveQuestINTL Church. And join us next time as we receive another powerful Right Now word brought to us by our man of God, Pastor Terrence Richmond. Enjoy the rest of your day, and in the meantime, get your love fixed, man.